It is 22 minutes after 4 o'clock. We're in conversation next with Tshepo Kgadima as we have a conversation looking into the announcement that has been made in the UK that they could be introducing load shedding as well. That is in January. So the UK government is planning to have blackouts in January as part of its emergency plan to deal with an energy deficit. This is as a result of gas shortages in the country caused by below average temperatures and reduced electricity imports from Norway as well as France. The UK government has assured citizens that this plan is for a worst case scenario. However, there will be reasonable supply for households and business. Is it time also that Europe starts having an honest conversation around the impact of the sanctions against Russia? Tshepo, good afternoon and thank you so much for making time for us. Does this come as a surprise at all?
Afternoon, Aldrin, and as well as to the listeners of SAFM. No, it does not come as a surprise at all. In fact, I think we've been expecting it. But what is surprising is that the policymakers and the politicians, largely in both Brussels as well as in London, for reasons best known to them, have not saw it fit to first run a referendum amongst their citizens on whether or not this energy rationing policies, as well as their posture and their stance in terms of sanctions against Russia, are actually in the interest and that the citizens actually need that. But it is not surprising that they have to go that route. However, on the other hand, what shocks me is the fact that according to the Lancet Planetary Health, between the years 2010 and 2019, in a 10-year period, there were well over 60,000 temperature-related deaths, whereby particularly the elderly become more and more vulnerable when during extreme cold weather during their winter months. And that was exacerbated by higher or increasing energy tariffs in the UK as well as across Europe. Now, the sanctions obviously have led to a myriad of other complications, such as the shortage of gas deliveries and therefore them having to resort to more or rather working off their reserves as well as limited. But France and Norway not being able to supply to the quota because of the sanctions is something that I think was long time coming, except that it shows once again that the politicians in Europe or across Europe, they are no different from the politicians in South Africa. They live in cloud cuckoo land. They are just out of touch with reality of what is happening on the ground.
Yeah, I just quickly wanted to play a clip here from a press briefing where Joe Biden, the president of the US, was answering a question last month, or rather it was in June, when he was in Madrid, a question from one of the journalists in relation to some of these sanctions and also the impact that the sanctions had. And Tshepo, just listen to what Joe Biden has to say, and then let's have a conversation, a broader geopolitical conversation as well, around the impact of these sanctions. Just take a listen.
This week, you and the G7 allies introduced a plan for an oil price cap for Russian exports, which is not yet filled out, and obviously is a response to the high price of gasoline in the United States and around the world. Are you confident that that cap would bring down prices for American drivers? And how long is it fair to expect American drivers to continue to pay a premium because of this war?
Let me hear this. The second part of the question was, would it bring down the price?
Will it bring down prices? And the war has pushed prices up. They could go as high as $200 a barrel, some analysts think. How long is it fair to expect American drivers and drivers around the world to pay that premium for this war?
As long as it takes. So Russia cannot, in fact, defeat Ukraine and move beyond Ukraine. This is a critical, critical position for the world. Here we are. Why do we have NATO? I told Putin that, in fact, if he were to move, we would move to strengthen NATO. We would move to strengthen NATO across the board. Look, let me explain the price. I suggested a while ago that what we should consider doing is putting a cap on the amount of money that we would pay for, the world would pay for Russian oil, and that we would not, there would, we would not provide, the West provides insurance, would not insure Russian ships carrying oil. We would not provide insurance for them, so they would have great difficulty getting customers. The point is that we've said to them, here's the deal. We're going to allow you to have a profit on what you make, but not the exorbitant prices that you're charging for the oil now.
Well, Tsepo, what do you make of that? And that was in June.
Yes, look, how long can the Americans and energy users all over the world continue to bear this hardship? Not much long. I think what President Biden and the NATO allies, those leaders within the EU, what they are doing, they are sowing the seeds of unrest. They are sowing the seeds of a Arab Spring equivalent in their own nations. As I say, that they are making policy pronouncements. They are taking a posture which has never been tested in terms of acceptability amongst their citizens in a form of a referendum. And therefore, I think if anything, we are going to see a world that is a lot more in turmoil. We are going to see economies continuing to suffer with high inflation. Mm-hmm. But if you look at Russia, for example, Russia learned a greater lesson in 2014 when the conflict with Ukraine started, in that the sanctions then, when they were introduced, Russia became a lot more self-sufficient. They industrialized or re-industrialized their nation. They manufacture most things, unlike in South Africa, where we are importing even a toothpick as well as a toothbrush. We never learned the lesson that Russia did. But as a result of these bizarre policies that the Europeans and the Americans are pushing onto the throats of everyone around the world, Russia will this year have a windfall of $200 billion from the high oil prices. Saudi Arabia will have a windfall of well over $300 billion from a windfall, which is a windfall from what they could have realized if the oil prices were where they were a year and a half ago. So what we are seeing here, we are seeing, again, as I say, these political leaders, they are prisoners because they don't really know, and their view of the world is so much reduced because they don't really know what is happening in the world. Mm. But needless to say that their actions and the policy decisions that they are taking in terms of foreign policy and otherwise, they only condemning their own people to energy poverty, because higher energy prices mean more people can't afford, but also it pushes the the price of the food basket to the extent that no one can be able to afford. That can only lead to unrest. That can only lead to revolution. So if anything, I think we're soon going to see a violent revolt in these nations as more and more people are really at the brink.
And we can't deny the fact also that these sanctions have, of course, also thrown the entire world into a tailspin, with just considering that we come out of, well, not really come out of COVID-19, but we come out of a hard lockdown that has now contributed to lower GDP forecast. And then again, then you have the sanctions that come into place, and these sanctions as well further putting pressure on various economies. And right here at home, we're feeling the impact of that as well. It's 4:30, time for the news headlines.